Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoon's Name. Last week, before the holiday, we were privileged to have New Directions was here, and Mount Zion Apostolic was here, and you heard some examples of what the church is doing with young people. In doing their thing in ministries, reaching out to the community. Mount Zion Apostolic talked about, hey, we heard that this zip code 46218, is off the hook. So we're trying to go out in the neighborhood and do something. Mount, New Directions had their services down at the Walker, particularly trying to reach out to folks who've been victims of violence who wanted to turn their lives around. And I understand they had a great series of services at the historic Madam Walker. Got several great pastors here in the house with other examples of what the church, not what they might do down the road, what they're doing, Chris, right now. See, you know, all y'all have been calling and saying, the church don't ever do anything. Well, they're doing some stuff. I got the Reverend Dr. Wayne Moore of Olivet Baptist Church, Reverend James Jackson of Fervent Prayers in the house, Pastor Covington of Friendship over in Hallville is in the house. Pastors, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what y'all doing? Because, you know, it's bad enough when somebody, we got crime in the hood. But, it, you know, it is interesting how the main media, somebody walks the wrong way at Expo and it's breaking news. Folks got shot across the street from the Speedway and they acted like, oh, it ain't nothing. To me, that's it's bad. Anyway, what are y'all doing?
Well, Amos, we're trying to put young people to work.
Mm-hmm.
We done it last year, collaborative effort. We met with Brother Jackson early in the year, and he had about 25 young men and young ladies working.
Right.
Pastor Covington and myself and other pastors, Reverend Manuel and some other pastors, even Bishop Grandstead, several pastors came together and said, hey, we need to put some young people to work. What can we do? How can we find this opportunity? So we decided to, instead of starting something, working with Brother Jackson last year.
So what y'all doing? And first of all, is it difficult to find businesses and to come up with opportunities for young people to do?
It's difficult to get businesses to commit to it, but it wasn't difficult for us to create jobs mm-hmm. for our young people. We mm-hmm. started that in 2012, as Dr. Moore indicated, with 25 kids every week. For about 8 weeks, we'd take the kids out and clean up the neighborhood, and we also spent time mentoring them. And then in 2013, in the collaborative effort with Dr. Moore, Dr. Covington, several other pastors, Reverend Harrison, and many others, we were able to employ nearly 700, almost 800 young people last year with that same concept.
Hmm. Are we at a point, you know, with what you guys are doing, you know, which is kind of grassroots, hands-on. What kinds of things are the young people doing? What kind of jobs? Is it a little bit of everything?
Well, mostly cleanup jobs.
Okay.
We are able to send some of the youth on to other jobs in industry.
Right.
But primarily, it's cleaning up this year mm-hmm. In cooperation with KIB, or Keep Indianapolis Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing some graffiti cleanup.
Right.
Through Dr. Moore, we'll be able to work with some other cleanup sites. We did last year, Dr. Covington, along with some individuals, were able to get some properties that were mowed. Right. We were able to rake up the debris and bag that up. And the Department of Public Works came by and picked up the trash. So right now, that's where we are.
Is there – Do young people, Pastor Covington, is there demand that they want to do this, or they look at it and say, oh, this is a cleanup job. I don't want to do that.
No, I think that most of the young people that we've come in contact with basically are just excited about an opportunity to be able to work and to be able to have some finances during these 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, and we didn't have too many. Well, I didn't really hear no really complaints. Mm-hmm. They just And then again, some of it's not all working, but some of it is also mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we, as the been announced, you know, we saw the need because of what's going on in our community, and we just decided that we need to come together and do something about it to help these young people.
Is there a sense, because when I look at the unemployment statistics, the number, you know, the unemployment rate is going down, 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 which either means one or two things. A, look at it positively, you know, things are turning around, employers are hiring again. But what it also means is, okay, that means last hired is us, because we were the first fired, and it's going to take longer for that unemployment to get knocked down in our community. From where you guys are as pastors of great congregations, are you getting a sense that our people are starting to go back to work?
Well, those numbers are not going down with respect to youth ages 16 to 24 nationally.
Right.
Just a couple of months ago, youth unemployment was 62% across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, here locally, and particularly with minorities, those numbers are in double digits. So
right.
We have more adults who are going back to work and getting promotions.
So you're starting to see that on the,
yeah,
on the adult
are
side.
Going mm-hmm. back to
right,
work.
Right.
But the teen, according to the teen unemployment is an epidemic. I mean, we have we turned down 500 to 600 kids.
Yeah, at least.
At least last year.
Are we at a point, seeing what you guys are doing, the church coming together, you all coming together and saying, I ain't going to wait for nobody else, we going to do for self.
Right.
Are we at a point, you know, I mentioned this to Senator Donnelly a minute ago, where assume money ain't coming from government because they ain't got none. The feds don't have any, and they sure in the heck ain't got any around locally around here. Are we at a point where the big business community, all these folks that put their dimes in the pot for the Super Bowl that we're not going to get, that they need to be brought to the table to say, okay, here's what we have done in the church.
Okay.
Now, what y'all going to do? We don't put a little bit of chips in the pot.
Right.
What y'all going to do? I mean, it's too late to plan for the bulk of 2014. I mean, you guys are out there, you know, doing your thing, and that's a blessing, and that's young people that are working that weren't working before. So it's almost too late to get stuff in gear for this year,
right.
But I'm looking down the road at 2015.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
The children we deal with
mm-hmm.
are strictly grassroots.
Okay.
I mean, a kid will come to us and work on Friday after they get there, go through payroll system, that resource might go back home that day
mm-hmm.
to help that family eat the weekend.
Right.
So these companies that have the resources that have not come to the grassroots level
mm-hmm.
are working with different demographics than we are in.
Mm-hmm.
They're working with major groups, funding major groups. We're stepped down from that, Amos. Just might as well be truthful about it.
But is that the problem that in a city you guys are working roots, and that the young people that are working with you, because sometimes people have the perception, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, but when people hear summer jobs for youth, they think, okay, the youth gonna get the little check. And they go and cash the check at the bank or the currency exchange, and then they're going to go down to the video store and buy a video, or they're going to buy new Xbox games. But, Pastor Moore, what you're talking about is they're going to help their mom and their brothers and their sisters eat
that
halfway decent. Is that part of that people don't understand that part of it?
They don't. I don't think they understand that part of it. And then secondly, I think statistics, and maybe Jackson Covington can give you that, we kind of reduced teen crime last year.
Mm-hmm.
With these 800 kids that we work with, it was said by the chief himself
mm-hmm.
that crime kind of went down in this age group.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think our objective is to save lives, keep kids out of trouble for at least 6 or 7 hours a day, 4 or 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And by that particular time, they go home, do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. People are just not really understanding the struggle that these families are having, that these kids are having at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
And because if they're not going to work, they're going to go in a convenience store. And you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
And I think also, Amos, that by, you know, us allowing them, giving them the opportunity, it also will help some of them with their school supplies and things of that nature.
Right.
And I think it also needs to be said that, yeah, the church, you know, we're doing that, but we also have some, it's no secret, some other entities that have come alongside that really see what we're trying to do and have come alongside of us and can make some financial contributions because they see it.
And to your point, Amos, you know, we'd love for the philanthropic community and businesses to help to sustain our programs. But one of the things that the pastors we've talked about, we want to see this sustain 50 years. And as you know, sustainability is a big part of trying to make something work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're making and have made this part of our mission outreach. Mm-hmm. You know, there are churches that mission outreach to Africa and places like that and dig wells, as we should.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a mission right out here in the backyard of our communities, and it has to do with our black brothers and sisters 16 to 24 that need jobs. And so we are saying, hey, we're going to infuse that effort with money, and then we're asking others to come along and help us out.
Every dime, Amos.
239-1310 with pastors Dr. Wayne Moore, Ronald Covington, James Jackson. Of the kids you served, you said you served about 800. Did any of them that were in the program last year backslide? Did any of them where you had to go out, you had to go downtown and stand up for them in front of the bar of justice because they backslid?
Now, this was the element we're adding this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do some tracking of children this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank, I think, Dennis Bland. Is,
mm-hmm. Oh, CLD, yeah.
Yes, has given us 200 slots. 200 slots. So every kid, we can put at least 200
through
children.
Through CLD?
Through CLD this year. Mm-hmm. They're partnering with SOS and Clean for Green to mm-hmm. send these kids through CLD. Mm-hmm. Now, the key to that is we want to raise some money to help Brother Bland do this.
Right.
And so if he's going to take 200 kids, I already have vouchers printed up for these two projects, two specific classes that he has recommended for young people to take.
Mm-hmm.
Success, the threshold where kids are falling through the cracks when they come out of the eighth grade, going to the freshman year high school, and then also preparatory getting ready for college. So those are two options we're going to give kids after they work with this program.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get a voucher to go to CLD. So we're doing what we can to change the culture in households.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to track the metrics on every single kid.
We're going to try to do that
information.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at this over decades,
mm-hmm.
the next 3 years, the next 5 years. And to your point, to see did that kid drop out of high school? Did they graduate? Did the child become a single parent over time? All those sorts of things. We're going to be tracking it. It's very early. Our partnership with Clean for Green and SOS is
now
new.
People are hearing SOS and Clean for Green. Somebody may hear SOS and think it's something you buy at the store, and Clean for Green sound like some new group. So kind of break down, what's Clean for Green?
Well, Clean for Green started in 2012 out of the Far East Side Action Coalition, and it was a jobs program that we started up to try and employ youth. Our partnership with Dr. Moore and Dr. Covington began last year, and it brought the program to scale. So at that time, we talked about how we could expand it, and SOS came out of that, which is Save Our Seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a broader base, organized, collaborative effort to reach more youth.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. I have an idea. I know I have great nieces and nephews. They're still young, but I know I would be willing to contribute to a fund of some kind that we could do in the community, in the black community here in Indianapolis, maybe to help build up, I don't know, some kind of place where they can go and be productive in the community. I know a lot of African Americans have TVs. I'm not downing people who entertain themselves with TV, but a lot of times we buy things that we really don't need. And I would be willing to take that 20 or that 10 to put into the community. And I think if everybody did that, maybe we could do something better for our kids.
Are you talking about a physical building?
A building of some kind where we could go with our kids, maybe like they did in the old days. There used to be a lawyer and a doctor in the same community with someone who didn't have a degree or something of that nature, where we could go and just contribute to our kids, and maybe doctors or our school teachers could come or what have you, to help to encourage the kids in our community to strive to do better for themselves.
That sounds like what Big Brothers and Big Sisters
does. Maybe you could do like a telethon of some kind on the radio or something like that where people can call in and contribute.
Let me ask the pastors here, you know, sometimes people say, we got to have a physical building or a structure. But what you guys are doing, you're using the structures you already, the physical structures you already have.
Absolutely. Right.
Absolutely. We're doing that. We also have a structure. We just don't have the resources to redo the structure.
I think part of what the caller talked in their question is, do you need a separate building where young people come together? Because Friendship got a gym.
Yeah.
Fervent, y'all got there's a recreational thing, and a lot of churches have that now.
It's parental commitment.
Yeah.
It really is. It's not about a building here, and I understand what she's saying, but it's really changing the culture of a household. You know, I can take my kid to Friendship for mentoring tonight. I can take him to Fervent Prayer for mentoring tonight. I can take him to Olivet. I can take him to this church for mentoring. Whatever church, we have the facilities.
Right.
We just need parental commitment to bring those children.
Is it also the what I call the disconnect? And I think it is one of the major problems we do have in the community, and we haven't yet figured out how to solve it. And that is, there are a lot of programs either connected with churches or nonprofit organizations. There's a lot of grassroots programs that are out there, and we have this serious disconnect that there is no categorizing of all of those, and no one-stop place where somebody can physically call and get the information. All these groups are not registered with 211, so if you call the helpline, they don't have, you know, all of that information there. And because you hear from parents that want to know, hey, I want to know where to go, but that information is not there. Is that something, maybe not in what you're doing, but that's a need that needs to get dealt with once and for all?
I think so, because like you said, everybody's doing something, but if the information doesn't get out, then we do have a lot of parents who are concerned, who do not really know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, honestly, by what we're doing today, talking to you,
right,
is an avenue where people can know, because a lot of people would not even know about SOS Clean for Green if it were not, being able to share this today.
Right.
But you're absolutely right.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon. His name is, all right, here he comes, Larry. Larry, how you doing?
How you doing, ministers and Amos?
I'm fine.
Hey, Larry.
You know, we're not being very realistic. I worked doing going around service calls and stuff, and I went into two situations this week to fix windows, right? The gas and water was off. There was about four or five kids sleeping on a mattress in one room. The house was filthy, toilets full of sewage, holes running through the window from the next-door neighbor. So when you get a child coming out of that situation, you can offer him a lot of things, you know. But we're overlooking what I think the minister's job is. The minister is to convict wrongdoers of their sins, to convict them and make them repent. All you have to do is watch one of these committee meetings with the Department of Metropolitan Development Board and see how they're giving money to people that don't even need it. Giving the Pacers money, their players make millions of dollars a year. The Simons are billion-dollar people. Giving the Colts billions of dollars, they already have their money. I think that the pastor's job is to go to these committee meetings and go in front of the Simon Building, go in front of the Colts Stadium, and convict these people of their sins. When you offer a job, people are losing sight of what a job really is. That's when you go and you work and you spend your time, and you get paid. It don't have no strings attached to it other than that you're out there working. If it's just chopping weeds or picking up trash off the streets, you're working and getting paid. When you add anything else into it, then that's when you are squandering your money. So I just think that the situation is crucial, and what you're doing may be all right in a different time and space, but I think now it's bound to fail because you're not really looking realistically at what the problem is, and that is creating a whole new structure of welfare dependency with the so-called rich white folks that are coming and stealing the welfare money out of them, out of the kids' mouths.
Larry.
I'm right here. Don't
cut me off, baby. No, he's fine. That's Dr. Moore. Come on, Doc.
Larry, the reason why this program really exists is because of families that you just you experienced this weekend. You and I know, I've been in Indianapolis all of my life, and we allocate resources to whom we want them to go to. It's just that simple. And we cannot wait. We cannot fight Republican parties, Democratic parties, independent parties. It takes too much time, too much effort. So we've got to do what we can do in this community with churches and people in business who will give resources to help get young people off the street. And this is what Save Our Seed is all about, along with Clean for Green, is to provide some resources to help households and eventually change the culture. And if we can do that, there's a possibility the constituency of Indianapolis might come alongside of us and say, this is needed. Let's get behind it.
I appreciate it, Larry. Is also part of this that some in the community think the church needs to be a monolith, all doing the same thing, instead of the church, you know, some are doing this kind of ministry. Others are doing, everybody's got the same goal in mind.
Just say it, Amos. Just say it. Just go ahead and say what you really want to say. Why are we so divided? Why are we going in so many directions?
Well, I say that all the time. I need new folks to say that.
Yeah.
Or is it the way when Jesus ascended and he charged the disciples, they went off. You know, Peter's ministry was different from James and John's ministry, which was different than Paul's ministry, which was different than Philip's ministry. They were all preaching the same gospel, how they operated was, now correct me if I'm wrong, because y'all went to divinity school and had classes much longer than I ever had, but it was the same gospel, same word, but how they were doing their ministry of Jesus Christ was a little bit different. Am I wrong?
Amos, the scripture says there's differences of administration. And so, you know, we have new methods in the new millennium. And it's the body of Christ. So in the natural body, my eyes don't do what my feet do. My feet don't do what my arms do. Every part of my body, our bodies have an assignment. So I have no problem with pastors who have a special gifting to do this over here. I don't do that very well, but I do this really good. Mm-hmm. And so when I win, the entire church wins. When that pastor wins, the church at Indianapolis, not Fervent Prayer, Olivet, not Friendship, we all win at the same time. That's the mindset that we have to have. To Larry's point, he's absolutely right. We have a job to bring conviction, but at the same time, the church is also supposed to outreach and not just reach in. Certainly, I'm not going to spend my time picketing the Pacers or the.
But some other ministry could have decided that's my thing. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, and if that's their thing, hey, if they can win, then we all win. Mm-hmm. But at this season, that's, you know, my assignment is not to go to Menards and get some wood and make a picket sign. My assignment is to go and get some gloves and some trash bags, get out there and help these youth or Home Depot
or
the city of Indianapolis,
Lowe's,
and clean this city up and pay the youth. He said, whether it's chopping wood, they're not doing this for free. And we didn't get the money from the first year and the second year. We didn't get the money from welfare. This money came from hardworking people in the city of Indianapolis. It came from churches and people who care about what's going on with our youth.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names with the Reverend Dr. Wayne Moore of Olivet. Reverend Ronald Covington of Friendship. Reverend James Jackson of Fervent Prayers. So I got all sides of town in here. Kind of, sort of. And we're talking about, this is part of Your Life Matters Weeks on the program, because we're getting different perspectives. Tomorrow, medical folk will be here because they tired of patching up these bodies. And y'all tired of going down there and praying over the bodies that they patching up. So the medical community will be here. And then on Thursday, community conversation with crime, the police chief and the public safety director for the full 2 hours. Plus, we'll have some folks talking about the domestic violence, because that's on the rise. And then the Crime Stoppers folk will be here, because we're going to ask Crime Stoppers, how do you really work? Because there's a disconnect in the community with Crime Stoppers, because everybody said, wait a minute. If the CIA can break our codes, then how do we know that Crime Stoppers is really confidential? And that's a legitimate question. And Crime Stoppers ain't been here, so Crime Stoppers will be here on Thursday, and then young people will have their say on Friday. It's Your Life Matters Week. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. Back to the phones, and Robert, hi there. Robert? Oh, wait a minute, the computer. Oh. Hi, Robert. I'm sorry about that. The computer froze up.
Okay.
What's up?
I want to say hi to you, Amos, and praise the Lord to the saints and everybody on the broadcast that's listening. I want to commend you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny to me how people will turn to the man of God and start telling him what he ought to be doing. And every Sunday and every Thursday and days of the week, he's trying to get them to come to hear what Christ has to say. And they don't want to hear it then. So when trouble comes, then they want to come at you as if you're not doing your part. But all these men of God are doing their part. It just takes that person they're talking to accept what they're saying. And a lot of times they're not accepting what they're saying. And
hello? He was on a roll and the NSA intercepted his call. Oh, my goodness. Let me go. They hated when I say that, but until AT&T decided they're going to come fix it. Let me go. Did we lose everybody? Wow. NSA dropped everybody? I think it's time we have to call AT&T. AT&T, if you're listening, you know.
Well, Amos, that suggests that, you know, we're doing what the Lord has commanded.
We done burnt out the phone line so much.
And the devil is angry.
AT&T goes,
yeah, the devil is angry, and we're going to continue to make sure we get these young people off the street.
All right, Dave is back at 239-1310. Hi, Dave.
Thank you, Amos. I think your panel is right on. You know, this is one of the few times I think I have to agree with Larry, which I really hate to do. But, you know, a job is everything. It not only gives an individual self-esteem, it gets some money in their pocket, and it gets some pride in themselves.
Right.
And I think, you know, in the past we've had administrations that have done a lot of faith-based initiatives, and I think that's what needs to occur now. There is nothing, no more money spent better in the faith community with our taxpayer dollars than anything else done in the federal government. And I think it's just, and just excuse me for saying this, I think there's some things here that need to be said that for all of Indianapolis is that children that are struggling in school, there needs to be some kind of educational part of this where if they're struggling in reading or math or vocabulary or grammar or whatever it is, not only do they need to work during the day, but they also need a part where they're going to school to help them with their future. And if that is neglected, everything else doesn't really mean anything, because if you can't read or write, you're not going to be successful. And I think it is imperative not only that these children work, no matter white, black, Hispanic, whatever, but they also need the ability to read the written word. And if that can come into play, I think it is imperative that these ministers impress upon those people in high office that this is the way to go, and it's the cheapest way to go for the salvation of the city. You know, all these murders are going on. It's just a lack of family values. It is a lack of respect for people. It is a lack of living up to civilization. And if we can put a dent in that, no matter how big a dent it is, mm-hmm. we need to do that as a society. And I am I'm 100% in favor of what you're doing, and I think that if people come up with the idea that they have earned what they have received, it goes a long way for them to have the kind of morals that will lead them in the future. And if you want to address that question, I'd be glad to hear your answer.
I'm still getting over. See what the Lord does. Dave and Larry on the same side of an issue. Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, a couple of things. One of the things he said, I think he implied taxpayer money. That's not the case in these programs, or it's a small amount. Am I correct?
Well, it has been a small amount. We do have a commitment mm-hmm. from the present administration to infuse dollars into this particular effort. And
but it's not the dominant.
It has not been.
Okay. Because people sometimes we might hear programs and assume, they're using government money.
Here's the dominant. The mm-hmm. dominant was Pastor Jackson was moving in a positive direction. We came alongside Pastor Jackson. 3 days, we raised $18,000 to increase this program to over 800 people last summer. This year, we've had some substantial businesses in the Afro-American community to donate some money. We also have a concert coming up.
Right.
We also have a preaching citywide revival coming up to raise all these dollars go towards the payroll of this young of the community.
Dave mentioned the tie-in to education, and over the years, just as the summer jobs programs went away, so did summer school.
Right.
And that will probably, when the historians write the history of what has gone on around here for the last 40 years, the diminution of summer school is probably going to be a major chapter. As you all have developed what you guys are doing with SOS and Clean for Green, did you look at a school or any kind of education component?
Well, that's where SOS came from. Okay. SOS is a more aggressive effort. Clean for Green is solely youth jobs. Mm-hmm. SOS is about adding that component. In fact, Dr. Moore and Dr. Covington offline, we talked about how we could broaden the base. And in Dr. King, one of Dr. King's speeches, and I've listened to several of them, one of the things he said, it really got my attention, Amos. He said that the black man is not inherently criminal. Mm-hmm. And there were people who thought so back then.
Right.
He said it's sickness, disease, poverty, and ignorance that breeds crime. And there are those who do not necessarily agree with that, but that's what the man said. And so I started looking at that, and that's where the jobs piece came from, and that's where the education. We talked about last year of having summer school, and we actually did that. So we have not forgotten about that component. And of course, a lot of the schools that are open now are dealing with educational pieces. But in the summertime, that's something we can do as well. So I do agree with both Dave and Larry that a job is extremely important, and our youth need jobs.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. His name is back to the phones. And Nikki, hi there.
Hi, how are you all?
We're fine.
Good.
Great. I was just calling because I have a couple of concerns. I as well was affected by the violence in the community. I lost a brother a couple years ago, and from a situation with another person that, you know, had a beef with one of his family members and he was killed. So I've been wondering, you know, why is it so hard for the community and the leaders of our community that call themselves our leaders to get involved, and what can we do to make a difference? And the things that have bothered me as growing up in this city and knowing the different challenges and things that the black people do face, we do have a lot of poverty, but we have a lot of richness in our churches. Our churches are multi-million dollar organizations now. And I just want to know why we do not go back to the landmark, the way that the churches were ran and operated in the biblical days, where when people are in bondage because of financial issues, the churches raise money to give to the churches, to the people of the churches, to assist and help out. I've even tried to go and further my education within the biblical, you know, sense, and I can't even afford to get the more knowledge that I want from studying the Word of God, because we can't even afford the schooling because it's so expensive to even get a better education. So we continue to say that, you know, it's the government, but we have control because God has actually given us the control and the power to do more than what we actually are doing. And I just wanted to make that comment.
The other thing, let me have Pastor Covington respond.
Amos, I think that one of the problems is that what people don't know is that there are a lot of churches out here who address poverty every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And we don't just help members of our churches, but we have people that we don't even know, you know. So the church is doing that, you know, paying rent, doing things of that sort. You know, the churches do that.
Is it also incumbent upon members of the church to ask their church leadership, what y'all doing?
Well, you know, to her point, the majority, the overwhelming majority of our churches are not multimillion-dollar organizations here in the city of Indianapolis, across the nation, particularly in what we call the Black Church. But for those that are, we have had some involvement from those churches with this effort as well. Mm-hmm. So as far as the church leadership and Black church leadership, there are cycles to everything. And I think in one of your shows a couple of Januaries ago, Amos, you kind of went through what you saw as the business, Black business leadership, right. Black mm-hmm. government leadership. And then when you got to Black church leadership, we had to pause there because there's some developing leadership. There's changing of the guard. A lot of those Black church leaders who carried the torch in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s have moved on and or retired. And so God is raising up new leadership.
New generation.
And as you know, relationships takes time. There's four stages of every relationship. I'm not going to go through all that now. But those relationships are developing, and my sister, she's going to see some exciting things happen.
Well, a new pastor first has to get settled in the congregation, right. Understand where the
He's
congregation—
He's got to know the terrain.
You got to know the terrain, know your flock, understand where the church, where that, those members want to go, and as well as the direction that he or she is getting from God himself.
Let me give—Nikki's right. Back in the 60s, mm-hmm. If the church needed to do something in the community— they would come to the church, raise resources, right. And do that. That is the method that we're doing mm-hmm. with Dr. Marvin Wiley, who will be here the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Mm-hmm. Every dime raised on a church tray will go back in mm-hmm. the community.
On the 11th, 12th, 13th, where?
At Olivet Baptist Church, 7 o'clock nightly.
Okay.
And there's going to be a musical starting this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Every dime raised mm-hmm. at Olivet on Sunday at 4:50 in the afternoon, we'll go back into the community to help these young people. That's where it started in the church. Raise money to help the community. That's what we're doing.
All right. Right. And all of it is where? And for those that don't know where?
4141 North High School Road.
41 on the west side. That's it. You know, that's a hot corner out there.
Yeah, that's where the last.
Yeah, that's where that mess was.
Yes.
Is it. Here's the other thing. And I'm going to get in with this with the chief and the public safety director. I love him to death. But we got to unhook this zip code thing. Because here's why I'm nervous about labeling zip codes as a violent zip code. Given that zip codes are more for marketing purposes and defining an area for dollars and cents and resources, if all of a sudden you've labeled because of what happens in an area, this zip code is the worst zip code known to man, then what business mm-hmm. is going to want to invest in the zip code?
Right.
If there are churches in that zip code that want to renew their insurance, that rate is going to go up, and that's taking away dollars out of the plate that could go to help
community.
The community.
Right.
So yeah. I'm really nervous about, and I understand why they do it, mm-hmm. but I wish they would undo it and take it down to a neighborhood level.
Well, there's a biblical principle that says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And so what you're saying is certainly a valid point. And sometimes you may have a tactic or you may have a strategy and you have to revisit it and you pull in people who yeah. have understanding about these things as you have and maybe retrench it and do it a different way.
239-1310. So I think Pastor may be slightly agreeing with me. Let me go to William at 239-1310. Hi, William.
Hey, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
How's everybody there? And I don't want to disrespect anybody or your efforts of what you're doing and anything like that. I don't want you to take it like it is. But my concern is this right here, and this is what I see. And you had several people on your show today have said certain things, but they didn't say it all the way like they should have said it. And this is what needs to be said. See, you're still invoking the church. And if you take that segment away for and get a building somewhere, and all your ministers and anybody and everybody else that's involved can come to that building without being involved in some type of church. You got so many different nominations of churches, and seeing people are a lot more sophisticated now at this day and time to what y'all. Now, this is what Jesus did. Now, Jesus was only in the temple at one time, as I can recall. That now, when he was healing out there in the lands and stuff like that, and preaching and stuff like that, I noticed that he never said when he healed somebody that, well, you need to come to the church. And there are several people that he have healed. I don't want to go through the names of them because I know all of them that he have healed and even raised the dead. He didn't say, well, I'm going to raise you from the dead, but you got to come to church. So if you just take that, and one sister had it, but so she's willing. I noticed she know that was ministers on this program today, but she just didn't come out and say it like she should have said it, but that she's willing to donate, and I'm pretty sure there's other people out here would donate to a building to help your guys get a building and stuff like that. You don't have to lay down your credentials or your your bishopship or nothing like that.
All right. Let me let Dr. Moore respond.
Okay, Brother Williams, like you said, and I agree with you, we have a building, but we have no resources. We have a building, the old Atkins Boys Club.
On
16th Street is a building. We can put the build program in there. We can put a Save Our Seed program in there. We can do counseling in there. The problem with having a building, it takes resources to maintain it. And then secondly, the reason why we suggest the church is because there are not a lot of resources in the community as it relates to the recreation centers are not as open as they used to be, and so we have to resort back to what we have to work with.
Yeah, and most of our churches are becoming multi-use centers as well. And, you know, he's right. Most of what Jesus did was not at what we call a church. But when the church is doing what the church is called to do and gifted to do, we can be the substratum of all the success in the community. And so the buildings that we do have, we're going to come up with a plan, and the resources will come because we believe resources follow vision. So we're not saying if people don't do it, it's not going
to
happen.
And also, we're not saying that you have to come to our church. We serve, and one thing, our work is on the outside of the church. That's where the work is, in the street.
Is sometimes the reason people say, hey, there needs to be a separate building is the old school of thought of, well, I'm a member at this church and I'm not going to feel comfortable going to Olivet or Friendship or Fervent Prayer because I'm not a member of their church.
Yeah, I mean, people do that, but I think it's an inward journey. And Howard Thurman's book, The Inward Journey, I think we all have to get past all that. And I think we're at critical mass, Amos. Where it doesn't really matter whose church you go to. You can go to church. We want you to go to church. But what we're focused on the spiritual growth and development of people. We're focused on families. We're focused on jobs. We're focused on education. Those are the societal mind molders that we're trying to impact.
Can y'all hang a little bit?
Yes.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It is Your Life Matters Week. More of your calls. Great conversation. I mean, this is kind of what we wanted these distinguished gentlemen here today to kind of start us in this conversation we'll be having all week about crime and violence and the greater conversation on community conversation on crime. What do we do about all of this? 239-1310, 239-1310, more after these. Got an email at praiseindy.com. Love the subject of your show today. Could you please ask the pastors if they have contacted some of the community gardens in town to see if the young people could work there? I'm not sure the funding source for that project, but it could be worth exploring. No, there's a new farm on the Central State property on the west side, and the operators were asking for volunteers to help with planting.
Let me explain how that works, Amos.
Yeah.
We would love to work with the garden plots. The issue is transporting. I think in our database right now, we're sitting at 600 kids.
A little more than that.
Yeah. More than that.
So it's so,
so if we take them to a garden plot.
Yeah.
Buses will cost us. This is why we need resources.
And the insurance. And
yeah. We have a company that's going to give us buses for $210 mm-hmm. for 4 hours, $45 every hour after that. Okay. So we'll be transporting 6-7 buses to sites this year. Right. That is the new piece that we're bringing on this year to move these kids around town to work sites. Not only will we be cleaning up the 38 Post Road, Franklin Road area, German Church area, right. but we'll be on the Crown Hill area. We'll be everywhere we can find work. We're going to take them.
And some of the city parks as well.
Yeah. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes. How are you doing today?
We're fine.
Amos and all the guests. Mm-hmm. I would just like to say that, you know, I commend the ministers, what you are doing. But from the spiritual standpoint, is some things that we have to look at as what we will, or you would call, they would call God's judgment. And that being said, you know, I have referred this to the host a while back. I gave him a letter, and it was concerning the violence, the killing, and it came from Ezekiel 7, and it says, violence has risen to a rod of wickedness. And it says, the city is full of crime, bloody crimes. And I'm only saying that to say this. Even when Noah said it was going to rain, nobody believed him. That being said, I would say that you have to look at it as it is in the biblical times, and we're living in the last day. That being said, God's judgment is right now going on. And only thing I would say is this, that some people, the only help that they may get is the saving of their soul.
All right, let me let the pastor respond. Thank you, caller.
In response to what Dave said in, earlier, and Larry said, Dave used a great statement for this city. He talked about the salvation of the city. We need to understand, though God might enact judgment on a city, salvation still exists inside of that city. Whoever can get out of it, out of God's judgment, make a choice to get out of it. We need to be conscious of the fact that God's judgment is God's judgment. We need to understand where we are in that context, that it is our role to do what we can as men of God and people of God, not only to talk about the salvation of the soul, but the salvation of the city as well.
Back to the phones, another anonymous. Hi there.
Praise the Lord. How y'all doing?
We're fine.
Good.
Good. I want to thank you for what you're doing with the cleanup. I was on the east side of 38th Street this winter, and I was thinking, while they're putting these kids out of school, they could be picking up some of that trash out there. And also, I agree with the caller about the summer school. We need more summer school for our young people. But I was calling today to ask, are we doing anything about troubleshooting in the schools when the kids have problems at school and they put them out of school for 10 days and they walk up and down the street, they expel them? How can we come up with a ministry to go into these schools who are closing their doors to a lot of people who could be helping the teachers and troubleshoot some of the problems? Because it seems like a lot of the young people's problems are beginning in the schoolhouse. And also, I've had some property in 46218 for 20 years, and I would be willing to donate that property for a community garden if there are resources available to help me do that.
That's a great question. As you all look at the program, as you all look at what you're doing with particularly with SOS, any thought of doing outreach into the schools?
Absolutely. There's a model in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Amos. It's called the Link, and they do just that. And they partner with the education centers in their city, and they make sure that there's alternatives for kids who get suspended, making sure that those kids are not just out doing nothing. There's mentoring programs all within that. But let's be clear, this is a multi-year, multi-million dollar fix. We didn't. It didn't take 4 months to get here. It took, you know, over 30 years to get here. And, you know, through the efforts of these ministers and other churches and other organizations throughout our city, we're going to fix it, but it's going to take time to do it.
Is this also a commitment because crime runs in surges, right, and these homicide spurts are a surge, just like they had the surge in Iraq, they had the surge in Afghanistan. The violence goes up, then law enforcement does what they need to do, and then it slowly comes back down and plateaus out. Is this something where, let's say, think positively, and we start to see an end to the surge this year, and then we go into 2015, and it's far lower than it is now. How do you resist the temptation? Oh, stuff's down now. Now we can walk away.
I think you keep working, Amos. This is a yearly effort, 24/7. I don't ever feel that we can get comfortable, and we have to continue doing what we're doing because we have to keep reaching every generation when it's good. And then I think one of the things we have to do is we have to call it like it really is. Crime is everywhere and at all times. And it's in all our communities, and we have to do what we... And I think, you know, this is just the beginning, what we're doing. We can't do everything, but we're doing what we can do at this moment.
A couple things. Somebody hit me on Twitter before the broadcast began and says, I hope the discussion encompasses the entire city of Indy, not just majority areas like 46218. And then we had somebody else on Twitter said, would you have the pastor say, if I want to make a contribution to get involved, how do they get involved? So let me first get to the back part first. If there are people listening, get your note paper, get your pencil, get your pen, get your crayon, get your charcoal, get your magic marker together. How would they make a donation? How'd they get involved?
Number one, they can contact me at the Olivet Missionary Baptist Church at 299-6622, and I'll introduce them on how to put a contribution to work. And we'll call them back. We'll be right on point because we do need those resources. Amos, let me say this.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. He was a cab driver. I don't know if you remember. 16-year-old young man shot the cab driver.
Yeah.
His name was Chipper. Chipper was a friend of mine. Matter of fact, he grew up with him. I met with his family the other week who were going to support this program. She didn't come to support because of Chipper. Everything we do that she wanted to do was because in memory of Chipper. But she wanted to help another a 16-year-old kid. Not get into the trouble that the 16-year-old kid got in that killed her husband. She wants to help. She wants to stop. She's putting her money where her mouth is.
Let me go to Pastor Armstrong at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. Good afternoon, panel. I just want to say that, first of all, I applaud what these pastors are doing. And throughout this conversation that I've been listening today, they kept on saying, we need resources. We're looking for resources. So the Mount Vernon Baptist Church is calling in a resource. We're going to give you all a check for $500. If you need our bus, you can use it for free. Whatever you need, just give us a call. We want to be a part. And I believe one of the problems in this city concerning our seed is the clergy in coming aboard. We have too many people calling saying what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. So I'm just asking the community to start lead by following. If we can just learn to lead by following, I'm ready to follow, do whatever. And I believe that that's what it's going to take. Yeah, we're going to have poor people with us always. That's biblical. I understand we may be under judgment. That's true. But the Bible never teaches us to sit idle and or to do nothing. And I believe that's the problem with the church. We're waiting for the end. And we need to be working in this season right now. So whatever you all need from us, Pastor Moore, Pastor Covenant, Pastor Jackson, I applaud what you all are doing. We're coming aboard full force. And whatever you need, just let me know. And I just pray that pastors, community leaders, educational people should come aboard. This does not have to end in August or September. You know, just like the other caller said, we can do tutoring. We can do resume research, whatever it is, I believe this is a catalyst for change. And I just thank you all so much.
And thank you, Pastor Armstrong. You did a great job last year. We couldn't have did it without you.
Mount Vernon did an outstanding job. They cut 15 lots in Hallville.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, Dr. Armstrong cut most of them. But here's the idea. These are pastors.
Bozell would be proud.
These are pastors who have put foot to ground. Mm-hmm. Most of us who are sitting on this panel are out there with the young people every Friday.
What do you learn from them?
Oh, my God.
What do you learn from them?
Oh, my God.
I think it's reciprocal, Amos. I mean, we're learning from them. They're learning from us. We take about 15 minutes break to mentor. We work 45 minutes. We mentor 15 minutes of that time. And we ask questions. And, we ask questions, well, why are the young folk out here killing each other? And they give us answers that really help us understand what they're dealing with. So to be able to look into these young people's eyes and to listen to them, or to be able to watch them at the beginning of the day before we get ready to go out, and to see the hopelessness and to see the lack of confidence in some of them, not all of them, are some of the things that we learn. And you have to, the Bible says Jesus had compassion for the people. And it's hard not to have compassion for our young people to see what they're dealing with today.
Back to the phones in Marie. Hi there.
Hi there. My most important question has already been answered as far as how to make a donation and to support the effort. I am so proud to hear each of you gentlemen speaking about what you are doing together. And I appreciate that you didn't put a tax on the small resources that are out there to split and go your own way, that you came on board. I appreciate Pastor Moore saying, well, Pastor Jackson, had this going on, so there was no need of me going in another direction. He was already doing the work, so it was just the right thing to do was to get on board and take our resources and get the best bang for our bucks. I do solely appreciate that you are doing that, and just hearing this actually gives me hope today. Because there, I have been at a point where I just thought, when are we going to get it together that we have to come together so that we can make a difference in our young people? And I appreciate what each of you are doing and the community. We can come together. A small donation can go a long way. If the masses give $2 each, that would speak volumes. And I appreciate what you're doing and what is it that you all want the community to do to help bring this in while you guys are doing what you're doing.
Pastor Moore.
Thank you so much. You can participate at the Olivet Church on Sunday at 4:50 in the musical. If you got a quarter, bring it. It goes toward a young child. Come to the community.
It's like a quarter party.
But yeah, whatever we can get to help a kid.
Yeah.
And then June the 11th, 12th, and 13th, all the way from Maywood, Illinois, Dr. Marvin Wiley is going to be preaching. Every dime will go back into the community. Mm-hmm. We're asking the community to come together at Olivet on these days, bring resources so we can create payroll for young people who want to work in this city. And it's only one day of work because that's all we can afford.
Thank you, Marie. Back to the phones. I got two more callers with this distinguished panel. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes, sir. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
We're fine. Hey.
I just think that the culture, until we have people standing up, parents especially, just regulating what our children are listening to, because, I mean, the music, movies, that are going into our children's ears, just like this Sunday, I left church, get in the car with the children, daughter turns on the radio, sex, drugs, murder. I mean, everything we just heard in church on the radio, pretty much out the window. I mean, it's just what they're listening to from a day-to-day basis. Once a week on Sunday, you go to church, and you hear the good word. And it's just, I mean, it's like they're being programmed, desensitized, every day, all day, until we stand up and, tell these big name singers, rappers, movie stars, enough's enough, because it's coming to a head where, it's just, it's the normal. Murder's okay. Drugs are okay. It's cool. Sex is okay. It's cool. If you don't have a job, go rob somebody. It's all right. And it's come to a point where, you know, my 13-year-old kid's singing a song, and, I never really paid attention. I heard the words, and I'm like, are you serious? It's really disturbing and disgusting, you know, just some of the role models out there that our children have, you know, that the role models that we had in the past to what they have now is, it's night and day. And I really think some serious things need to change in the entertainment industry, you know, to really help out. I mean, I know that it's not all their problems, but the parents, and it all needs to start at the ground level, you know, regulate what your kids are listening and watching. Because, I mean, some of it's really perverted, bad, and sad. I mean, it's that it all has to start, you know, with us.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Miss B. It'll be our last caller with Reverend Dr. Wayne Moore, Ronald Covington, and James Jackson. Hi there.
Hello, everyone there.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask the question about your having the young people to work, you know, out in the yards and things. Do y'all try to help seniors?
Oh, Lord.
And Miss B. The things that I'm seeing is that a lot of seniors don't have. Just like me, for instance, I used to cut my grass, you know, my backyard rather, and now I'm not able to, and you can't find anyone to do it for you anymore. And I was just wondering, do y'all help, you know, help seniors or anybody that's not able to do it?
We'd
be happy to do that.
Yeah, we'd be. But here's the key, Ms. B.
Yeah.
We started out, Dr. Covington. Right. Started out with our SOS, Save Our Seed, was one element of it for the summer, was to be geared toward 1 week of cutting senior citizens' grass and doing what they needed. But the problem was liability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that.
It was liability, and we have to be very conscious of liability.
Yeah.
And so what we did, Dr. Armstrong at Mount Vernon, God bless his soul, he contracted for us. He was our contractor who contracted to get yards cut and lots cut. And so we'll probably have to start looking at that again. But when we open this particular can of worms, it's just so much that needs to be done in the community.
But wait a minute. You just said something that I think a lot of listeners may not have realized. So if you all hired a young person,
right,
and said, we heard from Miss B, go over and cut Miss B's lawn, the insurance people start freaking out.
Well, it's a possibility. We live in a litigious society,
right,
and we have young people who are working with us. The parents are involved. They have to sign waivers, and they have to bring their children.
But the reason I bring this up, I think some people think that the way stuff was done back in the day, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you can't do it because the doggone real lawyers and insurance companies have made it more difficult. It used to be easy for churches to put stuff, you know, put anybody in the church vehicle to take them down. You can't do that.
May I ask another question?
Yes, ma'am.
Why is it that the preachers don't have revival outside like they did years ago? You know, I'm an old lady. And we used to have them in different neighborhoods, revival, where people that don't go to church can walk out or come to the revivals in different areas at different times.
Well,
I still see some tents going up.
Yeah. There are some. You know, Amos, I can't do one on my site because when we rezoned, one of the stipulations was we couldn't use outside speakers. So if we wanted the rezoning,
zoning? Wait. Don't tell me. There's zoning where a church cannot have an outside.
Yes.
Oh, you just reminded me because I'm trying to reach out to the DMD to get the person in charge of the rezoning project.
That was one of the stipulations.
Oh, we got to change that.
Amos, let me just address.
But that raises up. There may be a zoning issue now with tents and stuff.
You got to get permits now.
You
got to
get permits. Yeah, right. You just can't put. Yeah, because back in the day, God said, put it up here. You put up in the lot. You put up it.
Just start reading and holler.
Let me suggest to
Miss B,
that if you belong to a church, I'm sure that if you go to that pastor, that he would be willing to have some of the deacons or somebody there to cut your grass. Because we understand that does happen in our churches.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you, what church you belong to, but if you would make that effort. What side of town are you on?
I live out east here, out by Pastor's.
Jackson?
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson's a good pastor to check in.
Well, I'm going to put Pastor Jackson.
There's two James Jacksons out there.
You call one of those Jacksons on the east side and see if they won't come and cut your grass.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, start with your pastor. Get him.
But I will say this, Amos, with our sister here, we will work on putting together some kind of situation where they can contact us, and we'll figure out a way to get it done.
Dallas just hit me on Twitter at on my Twitter at Amos WTLC Indy. Can we donate money online, or y'all ain't got
them? We are not that sophisticated.
Not that sophisticated yet. So Dallas, you got to call the number 299-6622.
Well,
299-6622. Is that another?
Or he can go to ferventprayerchurch.com.
Oh, don't Dallas. Fervent. So I'm going to have to tweet that back to him. Ferventprayerchurch.com.
Yeah, and click on the donate button.
And
in the notes, be sure
and in the notes say SOS.
Green or SOS.
Clean for Green or SOS. So in the notes, which is legally telling you that you want your money to go for a specific purpose.
Right.
At ferventprayerchurch.com. Ferventprayerchurch.com for all you online folk. Amen. And for all of you that like the old fashioned way, 299-6622. 299-6622. Great panel. The Reverend Dr. Wayne Moore. Olivet Baptist Church, Reverend Ronald Covington of Friendship Baptist Church, Reverend James Jackson of Fervent Prayer Church. They're Save Our Seed, SOS. I actually remembered that. That's SOS. Or Clean for Green. I don't know what the Morse code is for that. It's like, hurry up and cut the grass. That's what the Morse code is. Pastors, thanks very much for being with us.
When we
come back, we've got some, Pastor, I got some data on law enforcement. I'm getting ready to tell people what the solved murder rate is, which is not too bad. What some of the stats really are, getting folks ready for when the chief and the public safety director are here on Thursday. Tomorrow, when I come back, I'll tell you who's here tomorrow. From the hospital, from Eskenazi, because they're tired of patching people up. What they really want is, if y'all would cut this violence down, they could spend more time like studying and practicing and learning their craft instead of having to do what they got to do. You'll hear from them tomorrow. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.